For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. So hello, it's FA Trophy and FA Vars quarter-final time, and this week we have two managers with incredible playing careers behind them at the top of the pro game, now loving every minute of life as a non-league manager. First up, we speak to Kevin Horlock, the man who is tasked with keeping the lowest ranked club in the FA Trophy this weekend. Needham Market, even though he faces the top club in Stockport County currently in non-league, and a manager with a trophy already in his cabinet, Dave Challoner. He's not afraid of the task ahead, having already caused three cup sets in this competition in their six matches so far. Phil Annetts is back with his at FA Vars fact file hat on, and he's there to preview the four ties that sees eight clubs from eight different divisions and seven different leagues look to take that further step towards Wembley and that May non-league finals day date. One of those other gaffers with a Wembley in their sights is the one with probably the most unique job in non-league. He's the manager at Loughborough Students, and since taking on the role in June, he settled in very quickly, getting them to the FA Vars quarterfinals for this weekend and the cup final of the British University and College Sport competition. As a player and a coach in the pro game, Jamie Clapham had much success, but he appears to be enjoying the facilities and opportunities at Loughborough even more. Rounding off the show, John Couch, executive editor at large at the Non-League Paper, is back with a roundup of the week's news and what we can expect to read in this weekend's edition. Plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So, as I mentioned in the intro, it's the real deal for those left in the FA Trophy and FA Vars this weekend. The quarterfinals, two more wins, and they're at Wembley. And we start this week with the FA Trophy. And my first guest has already seen his side win six matches in this competition, dump out an informed club from the National South and dispatch two clubs from the National League. So the proposition of beating top of the table of the National League this weekend to continue FA Trophy progression is just an average day. Average, not a phrase usually used for my next guest, though. I'm very pleased to welcome to the Non-League Football Show a manager at Needham Market FC, Mr. Kevin Horlock. Welcome, Kevin.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, this is where you probably prove me wrong and tell me that some fellow journalist has once referred to you as average, but I'm pleased to get you on the Non-League Football Show because we've not spoken personally for a long while, and you're one of those managers that sort of... You're just doing your stuff. You're doing a great job, and you're not one to sing about it, really.
No, I've always been like that. I was an average player, by the way. Let's get that straight.
I don't think you were.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm loving being back at Needham. I wanted to come back at some point, and to come back as academy manager initially, and then tie it up with a first team job was ideal for me. So. I'm loving it. It's going really well, but I just think it's really important that when it's going well, you don't say too much because football's a cool game and it can turn so quickly. So, let the lads do the talking and results do the talking and just get on with it and keep enjoying it and working hard.
Yeah, because effectively, I think you finished your playing career, didn't you, at Needham? And that's where the tie comes from.
Yeah, so towards the end of my career, I was pretty fortunate throughout, really. I had a couple of bad injuries right at the back end of it, and I was just unable to train in a professional environment every day and then play games. So because I missed, I think it ended up being about 2 years at the end of my career, I still had the urge to play. I felt like I'd missed out for some reason. So the non-league game offered me that. Needham Market was one of the clubs that obviously I come to. There was a few that offered me contracts a little bit higher than Needham, but I come and it was a really good environment, a lovely club. They had a young manager at the time, Danny Laws, with a young team that was looking to develop the players, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to be part of that. So signed for Needham and loved every minute and so pleased that I did.
And we're pleased that you did as well, because it's great to have you in non-league. And we always talk about non-league finals day at Wembley when we get there. It's all about the clubs with the greatest stories. And, you know, what a tale you've already got in this season's FA Trophy.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, really. It's been a little bit of a frustrating season in the whole, I would say. We obviously, COVID affected everybody, and when the season got curtailed last year, we were flying.
We were flying,
young team. We took teams by surprise. We were joint top at the time, and that put a lot of pressure on us and expectation. So we wanted to start the season well, which we didn't. Unfortunately, we drew so many games. I think we drew 6 of the first 9, which sort of put us on the back foot and playing catch up. And we've never really been able to catch that gap up. We've obviously tried, but we've been a little bit indifferent. We've been magnificent in games, and in others, not so good. We're young and we're developing, and I've got players that will go on and play at the higher level above where we are and potentially in the professional game. But it has been a little bit frustrating in that respect, but the trophy journey's been, yeah, it's been immense. It's weird. It sort of just crept up on us. We obviously winning games early on in the competition, and I don't know, one thing led to another, and obviously jammed in between a really busy league campaign of travelling up to the Midlands, which we do in our league. We end up finding ourselves in the quarterfinals, which is incredible. I'm so proud of the lads. They've been magnificent. Like I said, we are a young team. Young players have been given opportunities and they've done really well. The game at Yeovil sticks out in my mind where no one really gave us a chance. We're going to Yeovil, who's a massive club, great stadium. And I was just pleased with that draw, that it gives the players the opportunity to go and see that, the young players to go and experience what it looks like to play at that level. And boy, did we turn up. We were magnificent on the night. And all the games, all the teams that we've beaten in higher divisions, I don't think anyone can argue that we didn't deserve it, which is pleasing also.
Yeah, and it I think that the way the trophy games and the rounds have come this year, it's sort of almost like a monthly appointment, isn't it? And I think that's probably sort of helped clubs like yourselves just to sort of keep in the flow and keep going.
Yeah, they seem to come thick and fast, especially now. And look, it gives us something else to focus on. Obviously, like the league, like I said, the league campaign was a little bit frustrating. We look like we're going to kick on and move up and get in the playoffs, then we lose on. So the trophies give us something else to focus on and minds off that. So the lads have embraced it. And to be fair, the last two have been not a panic, but fantastic for the football club. Obviously, the crowds that we got in the last round against Dartford was, I think it was 1,100. It's going to be way more this Saturday. Obviously, we're not used to that. So there's been so much work done at the football club, and they've been frantic for the last 10, well, since the draw was made, really. The pitch looks immaculate. The staff and obviously the volunteers that all non-league football clubs have been magnificent, like they always are. And Saturdays, I've said it before in an interview, Saturdays for them as much as the players to experience. Just a really a recognition and a pat on the back for all the work they do. And I just want to put on a show, and the lads want to put on a show for them and do them proud, really.
Yeah. Stockport County, your visitors, and they've already had a remarkable season, that FA Cup run. They've got a manager in Dave Challen who's won this competition with Fylde at Wembley. They're currently eyeing up promotion back to the Football League. I mean, if you were to choose a game at the start of the season that you wanted to play, and you wanted to play it at home, this would be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Look, I know once you get deeper into the competition, you can't help it. You start having one eye, could we get to Wembley? But I said when the draw was made, it was the one I wanted. I would like the lads to experience one of the biggest clubs, and they are the biggest club in the competition. They're the informed club that are top of the tree in non-league football, and in my opinion, are going to go up. So it was a draw I wanted. At home means, obviously, like I said, all them people that do so much for the football club can experience it and enjoy it. So, yeah, it's the plum joy. Obviously, the most difficult one, in my opinion. My assistant Tom's been to watch them a couple of times. I went to watch them at Bromley. They're some outfit. I don't think they've lost in 13. They've got match winners in the team. They're strong throughout. So it's going to be a really tough game. And for us to have a chance, we'll have to be at our best. We will have to have a little bit of luck. We will hopefully have them rest a few players. Obviously, they've got big games coming up. I think they've got Notts County pretty soon. So hopefully they rotate a little bit, and hopefully they have an off day. And if that all comes together and happens, then we've got a chance.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're celebrating all the people that are helping get this game on. I'm not sure they're going to enjoy, being normally one of those who's running around for a home game like this, I'm not sure they're going to enjoy it as much as maybe going away. But it is a fantastic experience. And I'd imagine financially, a trip to Edgeley Park would have made the chairman, or at least the treasurer, smile a bit more. But as a manager, having a home tie does that give you, it makes it a bit more of a level playing field, surely?
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it? But look, they're experienced players. They've got an experienced manager. They're used to travelling away. They're used to being favourites because they have been for the last few months in their division. So that expectation on them and the travelling, I don't think it affects them. The home tie, financially away, it would be good. It's still financially good at home, but we're a pretty lucky non-league football club in terms of we've got a really good academy that brings in funds. So we're in a good place. We own our ground, which not everyone's fortunate enough to do. So the money's just a bonus, really. It's not something that is the main thing about us. Again, we want to have games like this. We want to move up the football pyramid. And like I said, I'll always mention the people that do so much for the club. And I have done all season and always will continue, because they're the people that make non-league football clubs so special and make non-league football what it is. It's an unbelievable experience being involved in it, and one that I've loved. And if, in all honesty, I'm probably enjoying it more than my professional career.
Well, that's very good to hear. We're talking, I guess, before you're about to go out for that final training session and that sort of thing. I guess keeping it tight is going to be important in this game, but it's going to be a balance between that and players enjoying the game and playing their natural way too. How do you get that balance right?
Yeah, look, I think that's the way I've approached it throughout the competition. Obviously, we've knocked out, is it three or four teams in higher divisions. It's a dangerous game when you're going to think, right, we'll keep it tight and sit back, because if they do then score, what do you do then? So I've said it all along to the players. I'm not in fear of losing the game. My biggest fear is lads don't go out and perform how they can. I want them to play freely without being in fear and express themselves. And if they do that, look, I've got good players that we could cause them problems. So we'll go front foot and obviously be aware, we know all their strengths and weaknesses of how to do stuff out of possession. But in possession, I want us to be expansive and go and create chances and run forward and play how we would against anybody else, really. That's the big thing. My biggest fear is the lads playing the occasion rather than the game. So I want them, and I will try and relax them and let them know that it's okay to have a little bit of nerves, but go out and play freely and go and enjoy it. And football's there to be enjoyed. So there's no better game to enjoy than playing Stockport in the quarter final of FA Trophy. If you can't enjoy that, you can't enjoy nothing.
Yeah, and I think you've proven that, you know, under pressure and sort of a big game occasions that they can cope. I mean, you mentioned the Yeovil win, you know, one all draw and then winning 7-8 on the penalties. And I love the fact that Nathan Munson, who we've had on the show before, is a goalkeeper coach, and I know him from his appearances on the show, but also he's got an MBE for his work as a policeman by day, in counter-terrorism and things like that. There's something in me that wants to know that his notes for the penalties on the opposition for that Yeovil game was the greatest PowerPoint presentation with stats and analysis. But, I mean, you're probably going to tell me that he wrote on the back of a programme or something.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you. It wasn't Mano that did the penalties. Tom, my other assistant, so it's me, Tom and Mano. And I will give them a special mention as well. Obviously, all the praise tends to go on the manager and obviously, everyone wants to speak to me, but they do unbelievable stuff. And we wouldn't be here, or the club wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be getting the phone calls and the praise without them. We're a team, and I think it's important as a manager to realise what you do well and more importantly, what you don't do so well, and surround yourself with people that do it better than you. And it just works. Look, I'm thankful to have them and really lucky. But it was actually Tom that did all the homework on the penalties. He's really astute. He knows players from all divisions. He knows how people play. He knows what way the penalties go. And he's done it a number of times this season. And on top of that, obviously, we've got Marco in goal that has been there, done it, and a top goalie. And he made some great saves on the night. But it was, that was some experience down at Yeovil. And again, the lads got up and took penalties. And weirdly, I said to Tom and Mano on the way down to Yeovil, I said, you know what, my ideal outcome of tonight is to win on penalties. And they looked at me. And what I meant by that, I wanted us to show that we were good enough to play against clubs like that and that level. But also, I wanted the young players in the group to experience the pressure of penalties, because that's going to be important in their careers going forward. And good for their development. So it was a perfect away night in that respect, but one we enjoyed.
And again, it's good to hear you say about Tom and Mano in that way, because we always talk about managers putting together teams on the field, but that team off the field, you've mentioned the volunteers, but your backroom staff, that's where success is made.
Yeah, they're vital. It is managers. It's just the way it is. Managers always get the praise and tend to always get the stick, but we're a team, and it's not just that. We've got an unbelievable physio department as well. We're a really good group, and it works, and things are going well, and we sort of complement each other. We do things well in different areas, and it just all comes together and works. So Tom, for example, we'll do the presentation tonight on Stockport. He'll look through footage. He's obviously seen them twice, and the lads know exactly what they're coming up against. And then you've got Tom that obviously not the grumpy one, that's what the lads call him, but he sets standards. I'm quite a jokey manager. It's how I was during my career. I'm one that have a laugh with the players. You need that balance. And then Mano's the sensible one, like you said, a policeman, MBE, and he just brings that level head to it as well. So it works perfectly.
And as a player, you had a great career at clubs, what, Swindon, Man City, West Ham, Ipswich, international level in Northern Ireland, finishing in non-league. But did you ever think back then, when you were a player, that you'd be managing the side preparing for an FA Trophy quarter-final?
No, I'll be totally honest. I was a little bit naive as a player where I thought I was going to play forever. I thought I was going to be Peter Pan and just play football. I didn't know anything else. I didn't think of anything else. I didn't even think that I would stay in football. I don't know. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And then, obviously, your career comes to an end quite abruptly. And I sat at home for 2 years playing Xbox at 35 years old. And I was rubbish at that. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I just started coaching young children in schools, which I loved. And it sort of just went from there. I didn't plan on going into management. I didn't plan into going into coaching. It's sort of something that just sort of happened naturally. And yeah, I'm loving it. Non-league football, if obviously a lot of the listeners will be keen on non-league football, but I suggest to others that maybe haven't gone and supported their local club or witnessed non-league football, is brilliant. I actually love it, and like I said, I've enjoyed it as much or if not more than my professional career. I love playing it, getting stick at all the grounds in non-league. Obviously you can hear them because there's not as many as a professional game, and having the banter and covered in mud, and yeah, I just loved it and embraced it. And back in the day when I was playing it, there wasn't many ex-pros doing it, certainly at the level I was at Needham. But yeah, I loved it.
And that's what I love at the moment as well, because it does seem that a lot of ex-pros are falling back in love with the game and doing jobs like yourself. You know, we speak recently to Kevin Phillips, who's gone back in at South Shields. Later on the show we'll talk to Jamie Clapham, because he's there at Loughborough and doing well in the Vars there. And it's almost as if, I know we talk about, you know, the game at the higher level being a different game, but this is the traditional, beautiful game that we've always spoken about.
Yeah, look, football is all I ever knew and all I ever wanted to do. And obviously, when I stopped, I missed it. And not just the playing side. I think the biggest thing for me that I missed was, as I said earlier, that I was a little bit of a joker in the dressing room. Joe Royle once said he signed me for the dressing room instead of football, which is probably a back-ended compliment, but probably not a very good one. But I just missed the involvement with people, the togetherness, the dressing room, the laughs, the winning, the losing, the wanting to be better, the developing, and I missed that the most. So when you are out of the game for a bit, you do miss it, and you want to get back in it. So and non-league's perfect. It gives you that option, obviously, not to do it every day if you're a player and you can't do that. But yeah, I just love being involved in it, and obviously loving my time at Needham, and so long may that continue.
And Kevin, we've loved having you on the Non-League Football Show. This Needham Market against Stockport County, two of the greatest characters and non-league managers I think that I've had the opportunity to deal with. It looks a fantastic game on paper, and I'm sure it will be on the afternoon. Kevin Horlock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So as well as the FA Trophy reaching the quarterfinals, so does the FA VAR. So there is only one man to help kick off our FA VAR's coverage this week. The man with more insight than a room full of panorama journalists. He's got more statistics than a government spokesman. Well, basically more fun facts than a five-year-old after their first day at school. It is, of course, our very own Brain of Britain with his at FA VAR's fact file hat on, Mr. Phil Innes. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Phil.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. And I never know if it's me you're talking about or someone off University Challenge. I'm never quite sure. Good to be back, as always.
You'd still be high up on that list of phone a friend if I ever made it on a certain quiz show. yes, some of the obscure facts that we need in our lives, I'm sure, could only be served up by Mr. Philinet. So here we go. 8 clubs, 4 games, 2 wins away from Wembley. What's the one fact we should all know about this weekend's FA VARs matches?
Yeah, put me on the spot with that one. Well, I think that the biggest thing is that only 2 of the last 8 have actually appeared in a VARs final in the past. North Shields quite recently, obviously, they were in the final, 2015? I think they beat Glossop North End after extra time. Southall, a bit further back, 1986 was their appearance in the final, but they did lose 3-0 at Hale's Own. But, so this has all the potential, again, of being yet another FA VARs competition whereby at least one of the clubs in the final will be there for the first time. And we've got at least two clubs who will be in the semi-finals for the first time. So a lot of history to be made this weekend.
A lot of history to be made. And we always talk, I always talk about this, the stories of the clubs, that there's always a backstory behind their season or relevance as to why they're there. And you mentioned Southall, their former runners-up. It was the 150th anniversary this year. Yeah. And I know words and letters are important to you as well. And it probably helps that there's only 4 ties. So this did jump out at me that of the 8 clubs that are there, 2 sides begin with the letter W, 2 with the letter L, 2 with the letter N, and there's only one other tie without either of those letters in, and that's Hanworthy against Southall. Now, is that fate highlighting a future winner, or am I just get carried away now?
Well, no, I think you've outdone me on that one. That's an observation. Well, I must be teaching you well. Well spotted that. I didn't pick that one up. I noticed the double letters, but I didn't realise Hanworthy versus Southall was the only one without those double letters. But an interesting tie in itself, because Southall were probably the most experienced of all the clubs in the FA VAR still standing, whereas Hanworthy at this stage of the competition for the first time in their 23rd campaign, which is the most any of those that are here for the first time have had to wait to get to the quarterfinals. So you've probably got two end of the spectrum of VAR's experience facing each other off.
Wow. And 8 clubs and 8 different divisions, 7 different leagues represented.
Yeah.
The competition with the rejig at steps 4, 5 and 6, it really has highlighted its position as a National Cup competition.
Yes, we did think the United Counties League may be ended up being the dominant league for this year, and they did the other ones with 2 teams still standing, Newport Pagnell Town and Loughborough Students. But other than that, it's spread out across the leagues, and no more notably than for North Shields from the Northern League having to travel all the way down to Littlehampton Town from the Southern Combination, I think they play in. So that shows you the breadth of the regionalisation across the country in terms of representation.
And the North. Well, I'm sure both sides probably breathe a sigh of relief that there's no replays in games like that. That's a distance. Distance at a weekend, but on a Tuesday night after work, I think.
Yeah, I know. We've had problems in the past where teams haven't been able to fulfil a replay because of that distance. So yes, much as I like replays, I think the VARs is working really well with penalties and no extra time. So and Southall, I think, are the ones who are thinking it works the best of all, having won through their last 4 ties in that way. Whether they continue to do so all the way to the final, we shall see, but it's still quite remarkable to have actually won four consecutive penalty shootouts to get this far.
And I always wonder then, you know, their final training session, we're talking Thursday afternoon, final training session for South was probably later this evening. Do they do extra training on penalties just in case it comes up again?
I think they've probably had enough practice in terms of actual scenarios. But no doubt each of the clubs will be thinking that the games will be tight and therefore there'll be chance penalties will happen. But as we know, you can't really replicate match day penalty taking with training penalty taking. So it's nice that they do it, but I'm not sure it really makes that much difference. I'm sure there's plenty of coaches out there who tell me different though.
And I think showing the strength of these sides, you know, obviously to get to the quarterfinals of the National Cup competition, you've got to be fairly decent anyway. But I look at the tables of the eight divisions that these clubs are involved in, and it's all of them are in the top four in their division, other than Whitchurch Alport, who are ninth in the Midland League. There, it just shows that. Success in the Vars, not only puts clubs on the map so we know where they are when people talk about them, but it also builds success. And so often we see these clubs go on then for a few seasons at least, sort of moving up the pyramid and being successful.
Yeah, and I think this is why you don't see the same clubs appearing in the Vars each season nowadays, because it is a platform for success and it is a sign that the club is on the way up. And obviously from step five into step four, they move into the trophy. So, it wouldn't be surprised if this year's winner or finalist are knocking on door promotion as well, and maybe not take part next year.
And there are only the four games, and we can hear that you're full up Phil, but are you hoping to get out and watch one of these games over the weekend?
Definitely, yes. I'd have to do something really significant to stop me from getting to a game if I can avoid it. The game at Whitchurch Alport versus Newport Pagnell, I'll be heading up there on Saturday morning to get there early. History will be made at the game with one of the clubs making it to the semi-finals for the very first time. Whitchurch Alport hadn't before this season even been on the first round, so it is pretty uncharted territory for them. But it'll be a tough game against Newport Pagnell. They've done very well in the competition so far. I'm expecting it to be a great game. It's sold out from what I understand. And whether it's meant to be good on Saturday, I'm hoping that all contributes to a fantastic match.
Yeah, and I think it's £4,125 prize money for the winners, which I would have thought probably not going to be enough to cover the bar bill if one of these clubs are successful in this. But it is that feel good that it all creates around the club and around everybody involved in the local area as well. And some of these areas are, Newport Pagnell Town, people may have gone up and past it maybe as a service station or similar, but this is why the Vars is important in spreading non-league knowledge and even amongst non-league fans.
Definitely. I mean, if you look at another tie there, Loughborough Students taking on Withenshaw Town. I mean, Loughborough Students are flying the flag for academia this season. They've just this season taken on that name and having called Loughborough University prior to this season, but they're probably a lot further in the competition than they would have anticipated. And who genuinely knows about Loughborough Students as a football team playing at the national level in step five and the pyramid? And Withenshaw Town, they're also at this stage of the competition for the first time. So again, that tie is going to deliver new semi-finalists and yet more opportunity to be recognised in the wider football world.
And talking of being recognised in the wider football world, I'm buzzing because I've been praised by the top man in stats already, by something that I'd spotted. But we love your stats, Phil. Where can people read all about the stats that you compile for the FA Cup and FA Vars throughout the season?
Well, the best place is to follow both my accounts on Twitter. For FA Vars, it's at FA Vars Fat File and or FA Cup at FA Cup Fat File. So both of those are active accounts that I try to keep everyone updated with interesting stats and facts of both competitions.
And of course, people can also find out about FA Cup 150, your book that you've written there. And if people don't know about it, then more fool them. But Phil Annetts, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great weekend and speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you very much.
So let's stick with the FA Vars this week and speak with a man who's no stranger to success with over 500 appearances as a player in the pro game and no stranger to coaching with former roles at Middlesbrough, Coventry, Barnsley and Leeds. But this is, I believe, his first year as a non-league manager and he's doing quite well at it too. It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show to manager at Loughborough Students FC, Mr. Jamie Clapham. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Jamie.
Cheers, thank you very much.
It's not just non-league, of course, this role, because your role includes participation in a British university's competition. And as we speak, you're making your way back, travelling from Stirling University yesterday, a fantastic 3-0 win for your side on Wednesday, to put you in the British University and College Sports Cup final. It's a bit different from being a professional footballer.
Slightly. Wherever you go, there's always similarities, but there are differences with this. I mean, before I came here, I didn't even know what the books competition was, to be honest. And then I was in the office and everyone was excited. Said, oh, it's books day. And I'm thinking, I don't get it. I'm not sure what it is at the moment. But after the first game and then you see all the participants on campus and the buzz around the place, you quickly get to understand it and you realise the importance of it. So it didn't take me long. But no, I know the importance of it now. It's an interesting competition to say the least. But we've done incredibly well. Yeah, we've got through to a final. Coming back from Stirling now, it was a solid performance, difficult conditions, but the lads performed really well yesterday.
Yeah, and that's the final in that one, I believe. You're up against Nottingham Trent University, one of my former establishments, at Batesford United's ground on the 23rd of March. That's a great place, and it's going to be a great day for everybody involved. But you could, by then, be just one win away from Wembley in the FA Vars.
We could be, yes, we could be. I mean, it's been an important week. We had a tough game last Saturday. We knew that this is the next step on... We've been on our staircase, so to speak. This is the next step. The next step again then is Saturday. It's a quarter-final. We're really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it as a university. We hope to have a lot of people there supporting us. And it's been great.
Yeah, and I'm quarter-final FA Vars against Wythenshawe Town, Northwest Counties Premier League, up in Manchester there. Not a club, I'd imagine, normally on your radar, but I'm guessing for a game like this, you've collated plenty of information on them in preparation.
No, absolutely. I mean, I had a bit of time out from football, so I did see a lot of non-league. I wasn't kind of looking at this level, but I saw a lot of non-league football, so I understand what it was about before I even took this role on. So, they're a good team. They've had some good results in this competition. So, we know how difficult it is. But every game at this level is difficult. It's really competitive. For students, we have to stand up to that physical presence from the opposition, because I think that's what they kind of thrive on. They try to wind you up, and we've stood up to that task really well this year.
And how does it work as a university-based side? Because, you know, I've been covering this level of the game long enough to have covered the story of Jed Roddy and Paul Tisdale forming Team Bath FC at the turn of the millennium, that was, and the ride that they went on. And I guess like them, you've certainly got training facilities that every non-league manager is going to be jealous of.
Absolutely. I think even when I came in and I looked around, I think Premier League Academy, some of them don't have this kind of setup. The amount of pitches we've got, the gym facility, it really is an incredible place to go in and work. You could be doing a gym session in Power Base Gym and be next to Olympians. I mean, it's a fantastic setup. It's really geared up to try and help these on the way. First and foremost, they are academics. They come in because they come in for degrees and everything, but we believe that we can offer them the best sporting experience alongside that.
And I guess, as well as, you know, we talk to non-league managers week in, week out, and you know, they're dealing with the guy that's been on a building site all day and then having to come to training. And I guess you've got a slight advantage maybe that these guys are focused that that probably being at Loughborough because of its reputation in sport, and although they're not necessarily looking at academia in sport, they're looking, it's normally some sort of connection there. They're probably a bit more focused on being successful on a sporting field.
Maybe so. I think it's a difficult one, that, because I've heard university students come in and say, oh, they're semi-professional side, they're this, that and the other, and at the end of the day, we're not. I know that we play against people who are builders in all lines of profession, but the students, they train on a Monday night, they're at lectures all day, that we train at a Friday morning at kind of 7 o'clock in the morning, and that takes dedication. That's just not turning up, and it's not all roses for them. They put in the hard yards, they put in the work, they do the training, then they go and they sit in lectures all day, they have exams, they play in the book competition, they play in the UCL competition. I mean, it's frightening the amount of games that these guys have played already, and trying to manage that is difficult, because we want to compete at every level. We don't want to enter any competition and fail, that's for sure, but we have to make sure that we get the balance right. And at the moment, it's working. We're on the back of a really good run of results, and long may it continue.
Yeah, you're obviously doing quite well. Now, I mentioned like Team Bath, and they came out of the pyramid in 2008, 2009 because of the change in the FA rules on the ownership structure and things like that. And it was basically they couldn't get any promotion higher than they were. To be honest, more and more clubs who are limited companies, so fulfill that structure, have since developed their own academy. So every club pretty much up and down the land has got their own academy. But it doesn't seem to be as good as the one that the university model can properly lead with. So, you know, you're one of the few people in a role where you've got students that you're working with. Do you think actually, you know, maybe the FA should look at the structure and maybe allow university teams to move further up the pyramid? Because you've got such a great sort of base to build a football club upon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult subject, really, when you talk about it. How high can we go with this group? We changed the name from university to students. So I think that allows us to kind of go up. I've just looked back at Bath's history, and yeah, they disbanded at a certain time because of that. But I think we're still one of the few universities that our team still play in men's football. So there's a lot of universities that have players that play out and come back to play in their book competition, whereas we have all our players on site. We play in the men's league, we play in the book competition as one group, and we have players that have chosen to play out as well, and that is absolutely fine by us, because they're students at the end of the day. Every little helps in terms of money, so if they go out and they get paid somewhere else to play, that's brilliant. We devote all our time to the players that have committed to what we're trying to do, and it's not easy for them. They have to get other jobs, so it's all right saying that they don't do this, but alongside them doing their academic side, they play the football, they do the training, and if they need to get money, they have to do extra jobs as well. So it is really full on for these guys, and I'm full of admiration and really proud of what they've done so far.
And I think that's clear in sort of the way that you're talking there. And yeah, almost every week, certainly through lockdown and even now, Netflix or some streaming platform, they're putting out another documentary about US college sport and that sort of thing. You had any inquiries yourself about, you know, a UK version?
No, not yet. And I'm a great lover of them as well. I do watch them because I think it's fascinating how they do it, how they get players in, their recruitment process.
And I think the psychology is fantastic. I would encourage every non-league footballer to watch those, because it really does show how you can, well, what you need to be a winner.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some really good documentaries out there, not just about football, but American football as well. When you watch those, you're full of admiration for what they're trying to do, the coaches, the dedication and time that they put into that. We believe in what we're doing here. We're trying to implement a little bit of change from where it has been into now, and looking at a different structure. But for these guys to be sat here today, we're in the final of the book competition, which I don't think they've been in for a long time. We're at the quarter final of the FA Bars, which they've never done in their history. I don't think they've got past the third round. So they are setting the standards. They're hopefully changing the mindset of people to think, actually, football at Loughborough University is a great place to be. So hopefully the recruitment process becomes easier because of the fact of what we're doing on the field. So yeah, it's an exciting time to be a footballer at Loughborough University, I think.
And you mentioned about, you know, you've got top sportsmen. I mean, Loughborough is the home of, well, a number of headquarters of a number of different sports, even. And you've got Olympians, Paralympians, sort of on campus alongside them. But a big game like this, being at home on Saturday in the FA Vars, is that going to, you know, bring a decent crowd in as well and sort of create that buzz that football is something that everybody will be interested in?
We hope so. We're trying to put incentives on. Obviously, it's, with it being a league competition for students in our league games, I think it's free for them. But we have to come in collaboration with the opponents because it's money spinners for some teams. We had 870 at the last game. We went to Saffron Walden and they had 700 and something. We'd love to break 1,000. I think that would be a huge achievement for us to get 1,000 supporters down at Loughborough Stadium. But we're just hoping for a good occasion, played fairly. It'll be an honest game. It'll be a tough game. And that's all we can hope for. Yes, if we can get 1,000 people, it'd be amazing for us. Absolutely amazing. And if they can all get behind the students and help us get a step closer, even better.
And you've been in the role since June, I think. Again, much congratulations on the success so quickly. But how much of your side was already in place and how many are new this year?
I think the beauty of this role, it's normally the coaches get the sack or the players move on. At least here, we have a cycle of students that go in and out. So every year, obviously, we have players that graduate, we have players that go on placement, and it's putting the logistics in that to make sure we know who's going out where and when, who's finishing, who the likely candidates are to come in. I mean, a week on Sunday, we have our kind of can't remember the score now, but we have a day where all the students come in that we've kind of identified to have a look at them. We'll do a little training session, we'll have a practice match, and we go through that process. There's other processes where players will be in academies, and they'll be looking to, if they haven't made it as a pro, they'll be looking to come out on that next step, and Loughborough could be an opportunity for them. But yeah, the cycle really normally goes is managers stay a short time, the players stay there longer. But fortunately here, it's the players stay a short time and hopefully the coach can stay longer.
And how are you finding the dynamics of academia? Because you've been at some big clubs, both as a player and as a coach. But an institution like Loughborough, it's massive.
Yeah, I think it's, as much as academies are fantastic, I think there is something missing in terms of the academic side. They don't come out of that with enough. There's that many players in academies. How many people actually make it? What are they doing as a support network for them if they don't make it as footballers? So, absolutely, I love this environment because it has that. It's not just about football. It's not just about the result. It's about developing the person, making them employable at whatever they want to do whilst enjoying the football and giving them an opportunity to get back out there. It's not the end of the road in terms of professional careers for people that come here. We believe it's an opportunity to get that exposure because we have link-ups with other clubs. We have clubs coming in pre-season. We'll have friendlies with other teams. So we give them that exposure that it could still happen for them. And recently we've had, Ronan's gone to Crawley. We've had a player that signed for Crawley, I think, on an 18-month deal, which is great. It's another achievement for the university that somebody's come in. They've gone out on placement. They've trained down in London. He's been seen. And Crawley's signed him up. So, again, that's an achievement for the scholars to say that this can still happen for you. They just have to believe, work hard, and who knows where they can be.
Yeah, a very important part of the jigsaw. And away from the university football competition, you mentioned some of the different competitions that the university plays in. You've got the FA Vars as well, but you're also in the United Counties Premier Division North. Yeah. So that's a lot of games. Does that mean you have to have a bigger squad than most as well?
No, we have a team that play on a Saturday morning as well. So we have a development team, that's an under-21s league. We obviously have all the book competitions, which we've got six men's teams within that. So there are a lot of players on campus, and I think we have the biggest sporting league that's kind of with the Leicestershire FA as well, where we've got some like 30 teams playing. So it's a unbelievable amount of work that goes in with the university and a huge talent pool, really. But some people just want to turn up to university, have a couple of beers and play football. And that offer is available for them. But no, we don't go with a big squad. We have kind of 20, 22 players that are in our performance team. The performance means that there are some wraparound support, the physiotherapy. But other than that, it's those players. We're trying to change it slightly. So before it was kind of only looking at performance. We want to look outside of performance within football. We want to look at the development, the coaches, how we can improve, how we can progress and develop them. Because we feel that everybody's important. We want to make sure that everybody comes out of this employable, goes into the sporting environment that they need. It might not be football, but it could be still back into the sporting environment.
Certainly United County Premier is certainly one that's been getting plenty of focus this year. You've got Holbeck United still down the bottom without a win there, and Long Eaton United only just losing this week. It's quite a competitive division to be in as well.
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, Holbeach, it was strange because we played them early in the season. It was a tough game. They came this time round. And it was a really young team, energetic, enthusiastic. But it's just the turnover of manager, I think, at this level. People kind of don't stay there long. So the players, you can put 7 days notice in front of the players. Turnover is quick. They can go somewhere. Some clubs pay a lot more than others. We don't pay our players. They pretty much pay to be here because of what they have to do to be here. Whereas other clubs, they can pay someone if they're doing really well. They might go, right, I'm going to spend X amount of pounds on this player as well. The strength in their squad. So, yeah, you've got teams that are really strong and pay some money and get good players in. And you've got others that are development trying to stay in the league. So it is a mixed bag, but it is a very, very competitive league.
Yeah,
and I think that some of the times they just think they're going to come up and play against students and they'll just roll up and turn us over with a physical aspect. But this group have been really resilient this year. We've made sure about that. It's part of the game, unfortunately. It's not all going to be passing around at the back, the beautiful game that everybody wants to play. We have to assess the squad when they come in, what the players we've got, what's the best formation, who's going to play in the team, and we want to be playing effective football for the players that we've got there so that we have a buy-in from them to succeed and do well.
Yeah, and you know, big you've already had big games this week. You've got another big game at the weekend. And do you use your own big game experience to help your players through things like that? You've played, again, at the highest level, UEFA Cup and things like that. Do the players listen to that? Does that help them get focused?
I hope they listen to me, but no, I don't really talk about my experiences at football. If I talk about it, I've thought about my own goal. It's all focused around them. It is about them. Yes, I believe I can help them in certain aspects. The way I talk to them at the right time. Yes, you have to be nice at the right time. You have to put your arm around them. If you have to have a go at them, I'll have a go at them. I mean, it's just part and parcel of football. I'll do whatever I feel is necessary at the right time to implement something that is affected their mindset. So there is a balance. Because they're university students, but they're in a difficult game situation. We can't just keep praise, because I don't think that they learn anything from that. We're in a development and a learning environment, and I believe that this is just an extension of what they learn at the university on their academic side.
Mm. A great answer, because I mean, sometimes when I'm in front of students lecturing, while respectful, I think they look at me like I'm sort of Uncle Albert out of Only Fools and Horses retelling a story or something like that. But yeah, it is great to hear that you're trying to make them better people, and I think that's the important thing, that particularly non-leagues lost at some point, and it's important to get people like you with knowledge and experience in and doing the right things. Jamie Clapham, I've taken up far too much of your time, so I'll let you go. Enjoy the rest of the drive back down from Scotland. Enjoy Saturday the FA Vars quarter final, and thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem at all. Thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
So let's round off this week's news and head on over to Non-League Paper Towers as ever. And it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, Couchy.
Thanks, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I guess, really, all the big discussion this week so far has probably been about AFC Fylde. You know, Jim Bentley departing after we went out last week. We saw Nick Chadwick take charge on Saturday. But now he's also departed. And former Chesterfield and Gloucester City boss James Rowe back in football as the new manager and assembling his backroom staff at Fylde.
Yeah, it's a funny one, this one. I was quite surprised that they let Jim Bentley go last week. There was a big game with York, didn't they? And lost 2-0 at home to York. And they obviously decided that was the final straw. I think Jim Bentley's a good manager. I think that was a big call. So I wonder if they had James Rowe on their radar for a while. David Haythornthwaite, the chairman, said that they had done their due diligence on James and had done their homework. And he made a big play this week behind him. I don't think he's made himself the most popular man in football at the moment, James Rowe. But there's a lot that hasn't been said, and a lot that won't come out. But he's got a club there who are capable and should be capable of promotion from National League North, and he's certainly a very good manager at that level, and I think he's. I think it could be a good fit, to be fair, and I think timing could be right for a late run.
Yeah, and it's so tight there, isn't it, in the National North? And you mentioned the chairman, David Haythornthwaite, giving his fallback into James Rowe, as you'd expect, because he's made that appointment. And I was chatting to somebody earlier in the week. He's a man that's never been shy in sort of making decisions. I remember when he got rid of Dave Challoner, and David actually, I think he turned up for the game, wouldn't he, on a Saturday afternoon, and it had been postponed, I think, for waterlogged pitch or something like that. So we thought he was going to be taking charge of a Fylde team on the Saturday afternoon, and sort of half hour after kick, should have been kickoff, he was out of a job. So, you know, fair play to a club chairman to make decisions, and this is another one that as you say, might see them battling stronger for a late push at the top of the National North there. And, certainly if the new manager towels up, you'd certainly then fancy them in the playoffs going forward.
Yeah, I think I think Fylde would be the team you wouldn't want to play. But having said that, there's some big clubs in there. Kidderminster Harriers is a club I've been following quite closely recently. They're an excellent side, and if they can, a big blow with Jordan Preston, serious injury to Jordan Preston, their centre back. But if they can get over that setback, then they're going to be a good side as well. But you're right about David Haythornthwaite at Fylde. He's not afraid of making a big decision or two, and that decision to get rid of Dave Challoner, I think did fall a little bit around, because he's gone on to achieve unbelievable things, isn't he, with Hartlepool, and he's now riding high at the top of the table with Stockport. So his stock has risen tremendously, but I think. AFC Fylde under James Rowe are a big, big threat.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be one of those years where the innovative playoffs that we see in the National League there may really come into play. You know, getting your buys through, finishing up as high as possible in those playoff spots is going to be very important. Other managerial changes, sort of a bit closer to home for me, Dean Greenwood has stepped down at Ashford Town, Middlesex, after 2 months in the job there. He was number two to Luke Tufts before Luke went off to Leatherhead. Stepped up in January, and I think he's just basically put his hands up and said, look, I've worked really, really hard, but management's not for me. I want to go back to coaching. And I think his assistant, Paul McCarthy's going to take charge at Ashford until the end of the game. But it's a discussion we have almost every other week, I think, on this show about the difference between being a manager and being a number two.
That's right. I do know Dean. I've known him for a while when he was a player at Camberley, and he got a pretty good grounding for coaching with people that he worked alongside, people including Luke Tufts, who's obviously now at Leatherhead. So he did get that grounding through Knapp Hill, and obviously found himself in charge of Ashford Town, but obviously just didn't feel it was for him, as you say. He preferred either a number two or a coaching role, and he's happy to step back. And I think sort of fair play to him. You know, he's obviously not wasting anyone's time. He wants what's best for the football club, and obviously what's best for him and his family. And if he didn't feel that he could give it his all, then I think he's done well to step back. And yeah, fair play to him. Ashford is a club that I know well, and they are a well-run club, and having Dean there behind the scenes is could only be beneficial for him.
So Dean's decided maybe management isn't for him. A man that I think, you know, sort of management must be his middle name, I think. Paul Fairclough, he's announced the England C squad ahead of that game in Wales at the end of March, and a fair smattering across the clubs there. Obviously, you expect players from clubs that are challenging for the playoffs, but it certainly looks at an exciting game that's going to take place at Caernarfon Town on Wednesday, March the 30th.
It does, doesn't it? It looks a really, really good squad. He's got sprinkling there some real big guns there right across the National League, you know, with Stockport, Notts County, Chesterfield, all well represented. It's been the talking point of the week, really, isn't it? I mean, people all over social media, and it was going to happen. You know, oh, what about him? Or he should be starting. He's the best player in the National League. But I mean, the pool of players that you had to pick from was just so big, and it must have been a.
It's a bit like picking the school when you're at school, and there was everybody lined up in front of you. You had first pick. Yeah, it's like, who do you go with?
That's right, and then someone else goes with the second pick you wanted, but he literally had the pick of the National League there, which is an impossible task. But I mean, what it has done, it's made the England C team a very good side. I like to see that team come up against a League One or a League Two team, and I think certainly a League Two team. I think they'd give them a very good run for their money, especially with the Wrexham boys in there who come down from League One to play in the National League. But I know Paul's delighted to be back. He's been jumping in a bit for two or three years, and I think there were times when no one actually believed the England C team would come back. So pleased it is. I was lucky enough to go to Slovakia with Paul and the England C team, and they really do give you the experience of representing your country, with caps and everything. It's a full experience, and I know that a lot of players are delighted to now have the opportunity to represent England, and it gives them something to strive for.
But before, I mean, that's weeks away, and I'm sure Paul, of course, you know, we always have a few, you know, injuries. I'm sure there'll still be a few changes to that squad yet to come. But before that, the National League is. It's so tight at the top there. I mean, this weekend we've got the National League leader Stockport County. They're involved in the FA Trophy at Needham Market, but they've got that five-point cushion there at the top. You've got second place Chesterfield. They've got the Saturday evening game at Boreham Wood, and third place Wrexham, who beat Wood midweek, are another side not in action because they've got Notts County on Friday in the FA Trophy. And then you've got the fourth place FC Halifax. They might have an opportunity to catch up with one of their games in hand on Saturday because they're home to Dover. And then Solihull Moors are also in trophy action at Bromley. So and Bromley themselves are just outside the playoff zone at the moment. So this weekend, there's not so much going on at the top, but it's so tight that any one of those games can change it. And then we've got some massive midweek games ahead.
That's right. I mean, it's getting to that stage where it's the proper business end of the season, isn't it? Where the trophy games and the league games sort of run in conjunction, and all of a sudden games are coming thick and fast, especially for those teams who are still in the trophy, which this year is a majority of the teams at the top: Stockport, Notts County, Wrexham, as you say, Solihull. They're all Bromley and another team that. They're all still in the FA Trophy, so that means a lot more Tuesday night games, and it means Saturday games are coming thick and fast. And as you say, it really is getting tight at the top. Stockport have got a nice little lead at the moment, but if they get a backlog of games, that could affect them. Wrexham, I think, have won 6 on the trot. They're flying at the moment. They're looking forward to every game that's coming. It's going to be a.
And it's one of those every time I look at it and I look at the table, and it sort of depends what sort of mood you're in, or sort of what you think. Oh, actually, there's a little bit of a gap developed there, and you go, oh, actually, no, it's not, because they've got games in hand, and if they pick those up, and then these two have got to play each other, it really is going to go down to the wire.
Yeah. I think it will. I mean, I think Stockport are the team to beat. I think it will take an almighty effort to beat them. But as I say, Wrexham, after winning 6 on the trot, their tails are really up. Chesterfield as well. They're not going to go away either, are they? So I think it's really shaping up for a brilliant end of season. And the playoffs as well is Bournemouth. I went up to. Went up to Everton to watch them last week, and I thought they were very impressive. And to hold a quality team like them and to give them a game, that was excellent. But they've got quite a few games to play. I think they've got 3 games in hand over some of their rivals. So that's gonna have an effect on the legs, I think. Every year I tend to write off. FC Halifax Town, and I never should, because they prove me wrong every time, and they're doing it again, aren't they, Pete Wild? Yeah. Pete Wild's boys, they're just not going away.
And, Pete Wild, he just does it quietly, doesn't he? Just sort of like it's no showbiz about it. It's just it gets the job done.
He does, yeah. He every year I say, I'm not sure they got enough. And you look at the squads and you compare them to the quality that Wrexham or Chesterfield have got. You think, I don't think they can live with that. But then they keep coming out with these big results out of nowhere, and you have to take your hat off to them that they've had an unbelievable season, and they're the kind of team you don't really want to play in the. In the playoffs, because they could upset anyone on their day, and fair play to Pete Wild. He's made a real name for himself, and I think he's going to go on to very big things.
Yeah, and obviously you had this weekend, big weekend for you guys with the paper, with the FA Trophy quarterfinals. We've got the Friday night game, Notts County, Wrexham. Saturday, you've got Needham Market, Stockport. You've got Bromley, Solihull Moors, Dagenham and Redbridge against York City. And we've got the FA Vars, and we've already spoken about the FA Vars, 4 games there as well. And of course, all of those games, they're going to be decided on the day. So spot kicks may well be needed. But hopefully not as many as those that were needed in the Ernest Armstrong Memorial Cup this week between the Northern League Division 2 sides, Washington and Bedlington. Now, if I'm right on these facts, there was an official crowd of 40 watching, quite a thrilling 3-3 draw, and then a whopping 54 penalties that Washington got the better of with a 24-24 win. You ever been to one of those games?
Not quite to that extent. I've seen a penalty shootout, I think, between two of my local teams, Aldershot and Farnborough, once in the Hampshire Cup, and the fog was so thick, none of the crowd could actually see whether a penalty was in or not. And still to this day, I don't know who won that shootout. But no, nothing like that. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's there's penalty practice for the two coaches there and the two goalkeepers. I mean, it was a bit like Liverpool Chelsea the other day in the League Cup final, only going on for another, for an extra half hour. But, that's fantastic. I dread to think what time they finish.
Well, that's what I was concerned about. I know a number of clubs where you have to turn the floodlights off by 10 o'clock. I mean, luckily it was a fairly local game, but I mean, it beat the former Guinness World Record of the most penalties in a shootout of 48, I think that was. And the English record was 44 spot kicks. But I just love the fact that to add to the magic, that they actually got to penalties because of a stoppage time equaliser for Washington, which was a penalty itself. And that also completed the hat-trick in the match for Bradley Chisholm. I mean, we love stories, and that's got everything about it, isn't it?
Brilliant. I mean, that crowd of 40 were very lucky supporters. They obviously had everything in that game, and they certainly got their money's worth.
What?
55 penalties, I think, in total.
Yeah, an official crowd of 40, but you know that for years to come, there's going to be about 300 people that get that guaranteed that they were there and they watched it and they were part of it.
Of course.
So I'm guessing, that this weekend's paper, that there are some games in the National, there's great games in the South and North and across the pyramid. We've got the FA Vars, FA Trophy, plenty going on. What else can we expect to read in this week's non-league paper?
We've got a fair bit on the games on Saturday. The Vars we're getting very excited about now. Poor old North Shields have got to come down all the way down to Littlehampton. I mean, what a journey that is. That's got to be 7-8 hours on a coach and then back again, isn't it? I mean,
there's no easy way of doing it, is there? It's not.
No, that's right. Good luck to them. I mean, it's going to be a long day for them. In a non-league paper, Matt Badcock has been talking to Matt Robinson of Dagenham and Redbridge. He's quite an interesting character. Not only has he just been called up for the England C team, but he's a rap artist and has had various tunes. I think it was on one of the FIFA computer games. One of his tunes was used for. He's quite an interesting character, and we spoke to him at length. We've also got bits and bobs on the discussion that we had earlier with Fylde and Ashford. We've also got a little piece on Romford, Paul Magic Martin, a bit of a legend at Romford. He's left the club for a second time. We had a bit of an ill-fated brief spell. Which ended with an 8-0 home defeat to Bury Town on Saturday. So Paul's sadly gone, but they've now replaced him, and I think they're 9 points adrift at the bottom of Isthmian North. So their woeful season really continues. So I hope that there can be a bit of a turnaround there, but now we've got plenty going on. We've got a nice feature about agents and their role in non-league football. So that's certainly worth reading. And various other bits and bobs, which will be popping up over the course of the week. So, another busy week.
So, as much as I'd love a lie-in on Sunday morning, plenty of reason to get up early, grab your copy of the non-league paper, and enjoy it with a morning coffee. John Couch, thank you once again for joining us on the non-league football show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
No problem at all. Thank you very much, Tim.
And that's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and thank you to everybody for listening. Before I go, I must mention a very special birthday. And send my birthday wishes, and I'm sure those of all of you listening to Dave Anderson, who's celebrating, reaching a bit of a milestone this week. So best wishes to Dave, and best wishes to the owners of Peroni, who will probably see their best profits boosted this weekend. I should also mention that this Sunday, it is the Generation Cup final at St George's Park, celebrating the 150 years of the FA Cup. Unfortunately, ran out of time to hear more about those taking part. But if you are free and in the area on Sunday, there are a number of games to see with a Crystal Palace squad, Civil Service squad and Upton Park squad, all featuring, with the first game kicking off at 11 o'clock this Sunday. I will share some links on social media, so do please check it out and give them your support. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show and myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. You can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.